Greetings from York and Concordia University, Texas, and grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such a Mr. Know-it-all. Mr. Know-it-all. Now, some of you might be thinking when you hear Mr. Know-it-all, the song by Kelly Clarkson, and others of you a little bit older might be going back to the time that you may have watched Bullwinkle play the part of Mr. Know-it-all in the segment in that cartoon of the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. I loved watching that because Bullwinkle would always pretend to know something about, you know, everything there was, and he would go on to explain something that he didn't know anything about, and, well, something would always go wrong, and the laughs would ensue. Mr. Know-it-all. Do we likewise like to pretend that we know everything? Or maybe you're a Ms. Know-it-all. That you always like to be a right, that you always have to have the last word. When really, well, the reality is that we barely know anything about the topic. We like others to think, you know, more highly of us than we, you know, really, truly should stand. The reality is that we need to be informed. We need to be educated. Yeah, we do need to learn. And so I ask you today, I hear peace, where do you get your information? To whom do you listen when you're seeking advice? I mean, the world, you know, has a big voice, but, you know, the one who shouts the loudest isn't necessarily always the one that's the wisest in the land. You used to say things a while back, like, well, I can't get to the library to look that up, and traveling encyclopedia salesmen took care of that, right? But nowadays, it's wonderful. We have these, you know, smartphones that we can carry around with us, and we don't even just have an encyclopedia or a library, but we have thousands of libraries right here at our fingertips. The trouble is this: can you trust the source? You know, you look at Wikipedia, for example, and you don't know because everybody, you know, has an opportunity to upload information. And, well, is it right or is it wrong? My mom. Mom used to offer this word of wisdom to me. She said, the one thing that nobody can ever take away from you is your education. Yeah. We see its value, do we not? I guess that's why so many older adults are going back to school these days. When I was a student at Concordia in Austin, in one of my classes, sitting with me, next to me, was an 80-year-old woman. How fantastic is that? She knew the value of education and had the right attitude about learning. Well, what about us? What about us here in the church? Where does true wisdom come from? Well, we know that it comes from the Scriptures. And the Bible says this in James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives generously. God does indeed give generously, but it doesn't always happen, you know, in an instant, like this, right? I mean, God, he works through means. Kind of like, you know, the means of grace, right? God accomplished and won for us salvation on the cross, but he distributes that through his means of grace, through word and sacrament. Through the bread and wine, we receive his very body and blood. And through the water of baptism, then, we have his holy word spoken over that water, which contains the real power. God works through means. He works through, then, right, the farmers to grow the crops in order to feed us. He works through the plants in order to give us air to breathe. Works through the streams and the rivers and the rainfall to quench our thirst. God works through means, and to educate us, he works through the Scriptures, through his holy word. we know that that's God himself talking. I mean, you want to talk about learning from someone who has experience? Try sitting at the feet of the one who is infinite, right? I mean, the Bible teaches us that, well, gaining wisdom and the scriptures, things spiritual, God himself, are very much connected. Let me tell you about Reverend John Killian and 600 Wends who came here from Germany on a boat, a ship called the Ben Nevis. Came here in 1854 and landed in Galveston. Now, I did some Googling, and it went to MapQuest, actually, and I looked this up. And if you were to try to do what they did today, which was then walk from Galveston, right, in the middle of the cold winter, walk on up to where they landed or where they ended up, which is in Lee County, that would take you 75 hours. It's 187 miles. How incredible was their perseverance. Now, picture at the bottom right of the corner of the picture there that you see the bell from the Ben Nevis today. And in the upper right-hand side, you see the actual building that they built that's still there today at the church in Serbon in St. Paul. That building was built, and that was their school, that was their church, and that was the pastor's home. You see, instead of focusing when they arrived there on all of the comforts and giving attention to themselves as to, you know, where they would live and building up their homes, they really lived in, well, meager dugouts as they went around the community and shared the gospel and knew what first and foremost they needed to do, which was build the church and build the school. They valued education. And they're in 1859, when they dedicated the church as it stands today, pastor, he preached a sermon in both Wendish and also in German. And then when he found out that the majority, a lot of the people there spoke English, he would preach a sermon in three different languages. I'm not going to do that today, certainly. But they knew the benefits and the wisdom in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. They were focused outside of themselves. They were focused on outreach, and they did it through education. Consider Solomon, David's son. You know, God, he found favor with God, and God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted, right? And what does he ask for? He begs for wisdom, discernment to lead God's people. And God commends him. He says this right here, right? He says, because you have not asked for, you know, wealth or health or for, you know, the demise of your enemies, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you what you asked for. And we know that there was none before Solomon, as great as he was, as wise as he was, and we are told that there would never be anyone that would come after. Dear friends, do we hold wisdom with such high regard? Do we place it as such a high priority in our lives? Well, Luther certainly did. I mean, he stood up for teaching the scriptures, even when it cost him, well, the threat of his own life. Even when he was persecuted for standing up, I mean, he took such a close attention to studying scripture that he wanted to debate or to, you know, look further into it with the church. And yet things didn't go so well. And that's what we're kind of celebrating here, is that whole process and what took place in the Reformation as this year we celebrate the 500th anniversary. Luther himself, he was such a proponent of education. And not even just the impact then that this Reformation had in the church, and we kind of hear about that so often. But really, even as he was a proponent of higher education, and especially as we consider then what that meant for women's education, it can be traced back to it being such a high priority for Luther. I mean, no wonder that Lutherans have such a high regard for education. Concordia's presence in Austin from all the way back in 1926 is a testament to that, when those from the churches in the area got together and decided that they were going to plant there a school. And they built first Killian Hall. Founders of Concordia knew all too well Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is better than jewels. Now, guys, husbands in particular, I'm going to speak to you now. Next anniversary that you have, here's what I want you to do. Go to Barnes & Noble and pick out a really nice book for your wife and bring it home to her, and that's what you give her on your anniversary. And inside the cover, you're going to write on it this, wisdom is greater than jewels, right? See how that goes over when you quote Proverbs 8:11. Well, the history of Concordia through its 90 years of exciting growth then has been also one of change. I mean, it started out the university, as a high school, right? You know, educating young boys, and they would live there on the grounds. And then not all that long afterwards, then women were allowed to come. And then it became the junior college and the four-year university, and pretty soon you're having master's degrees. And this year that we're experiencing record enrollment at Concordia, we added our first doctoral degree program. It's exciting, it really is. We're reaching out in many and various different ways. And I think it's because there's a special approach that we take to education at Concordia. We recognize that the best education is only possible when it's coupled with faith, and faith in Christ, certainly. See, there's some in the world that would think that, well, you know, faith over here and your education over there are two mutually exclusive ideas, and they need to remain independent from each other. Well, that's not the case. Students at Concordia are encouraged to explore their faith, and even stack it up against, you know, what they're being presented through the sciences. We very much keep in mind how important the faith component is to our education. And not only important, but it's integral. What's our vision? Our vision as we expand certainly is to develop Christian leaders. You know, Concordia started by primarily focusing on church workers, you know, the pastors and those that would, go into education, and then, the music majors and the DCEs and so forth. But over the years, it's expanded. And now our biggest programs are business and nursing. And we have so many other things that we offer because we're recognizing that through developing Christian leaders, as we train people up in the faith, no matter what their vocation, no matter what it is they're setting out to do and their station in life that God gives them, that they can serve in their unique setting in that way and fulfill God's will for their life. I mean, it's fantastic that here we are working with these folks that are learning about the foundation of Jesus Christ and how important it is that no matter what we do, we point to Him alone and what the Father sent Him here to do, suffer and die for all humanity. Take a look at this cartoon up here on the screen. Jesus blows some minds on the "What I Want to Be When I Grow Up" day. Imagine how that must have gone. Now, I put this up there, and it's kind of, you know, sets you back at first, and you think, you know, what's going on here? I mean, it does blow our mind. It does kind of, you know, make us step back and, kind of repulsive to think of, well, yes, but that's the whole idea. Jesus came to seek and save the lost through being the suffering servant. He came to give His life. He came to sacrifice. This is who Christ is. This is the very foundation, as hard as it is, that He builds His church upon. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, He brings us into faith so that we can know this strong foundation. You know as well as I do that some teachings of the church are hard to accept. I mean, the world wants to shape us and wants to mold us and wants to transform the church into something different than what God intends it to be. tolerance. You hear that. You hear about, you know, just loving one another and maybe any path to God. But dear friends, tolerance and love and the path to God outside of Jesus Christ alone is a foundation of sand. Only when these things are through Christ alone can we know that we are built upon the rock, Christ, who is our foundation, Jesus, who is our chief cornerstone. Then we have a house that will stand strong. Educate yourselves in the Scriptures. Be wise, be discerning, and do so with a heart of faith that is set on things above, as Colossians 3:1 instructs and invites. Set your hearts on the one who is lifted high for you. They mocked and they ridiculed Jesus for being on the cross. Come down, save yourself if you can, right? They thought he was defeated. They considered him weak and out of control. Jesus knew what he was doing. He was doing the Father's will, and he was doing it for you and for me. The Holy Spirit has indeed filled us with wisdom to know these things, and so he joins St. Paul, and I join him as I pray this for you, that you too would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this about the crucifixion: for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. See, God chooses then the weak things of this world in order to shame the strong. God's power is made perfect in our weakness so that he might receive all the glory. The world looks at this as foolishness, like nonsense, but we know that this, dear friends, is true wisdom. Be wise as serpents, the Scriptures say, but innocent as doves. And so what about you? Do you want to be Mr. Know-It-All? Do you want to be Ms. Know-It-All? Do you want to be right all the time? Well, then I say this. Speak the gospel. Repeat the words of Christ for life and salvation. And know that the righteous live by faith. Go therefore now, making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.